Welcome to the Software Testing Podcast, sponsored by ASTQB. ASTQB, the American Software Testing Qualifications Board, is the U.S. board for the internationally recognized ISTQB Software Testing Certification. Our mission is to promote professionalism in software testing in the United States. We are pleased to present these podcasts as a service to the software testing community and invite you to learn more about ASTQB at astqb.org. I'm speaking today with Phil Liu, CEO of Exposoft, a leading provider of global software quality engineering services. Phil has international experience in startups, operation in a wide variety of business applications, and deep expertise in software engineering. He and his team work with many different platforms and frameworks and are experts in the agile testing process. We're excited to have Phil Liu with us today. Phil, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Dave. Great to be here.
So Phil recently, I should tell the audience, Phil recently wrote an article for ASTQB in which he described the hiring process. And you can catch a couple of other podcasts that talk about different parts of that. And in one of those, Phil mentioned that what school, what college, what university, what degree you have, some of the other aspects are not necessarily as important as perhaps the candidates or other companies would lead you to believe. And you had an interesting observation, and I'll quote this. I'll read this from the newsletter, just part of it, and then you can kind of elaborate on it. But you said, some of the mistakes we've made include hiring fresh graduates with what we thought to be good potential based on their grades. We have hired some of the brightest students with the best grades, and they show up for work and can't do a thing. We have to tell them what to do. And you kind of go on and talk about the fact that there's no teacher, here's the assignment, and you do this. Conversely, you describe those who may not have had the best grades and how they can just kind of roll with the situation. They figure it out. It all comes out to be okay. And I'm sure that there are exceptions on both sides of that. But can you elaborate a little bit about, you know, attention to detail, or, you know, the being able to innovate and self-start, or whatever that may be, that comes back to say you can't just look at the grades, you can't just look at the school and know you've got the perfect candidate.
Right. I think especially today, you know, with the way that people prepare for their college entrance examinations and the way that examinations are done, that you have to think about what kinds of tests people are taking. And if, you know, test taking, does that necessarily correlate to the ability to be a good employee in our company? I don't think they're necessarily directly correlated. And in fact, I think that they're not. So, in terms of course, we want people that have attention to detail, and I think that we mentioned problem solving, or maybe mm-hmm. we didn't, I'm not quite sure, in our mm-hmm. last talk. But I think one of the biggest things that we're looking for is the ability to solve problems, because, you know, inevitably our folks are going to run into problems that they've never encountered before, or nobody told them how to solve it, or things like that. And those kinds of things, of course, are not tested in school. And there's a lot of different levels of abstraction that we want our candidates and we want our employees to be able to think about. And, you know, if you think about different levels of abstraction, you have a line of code, you know, above that you have a module, maybe above that you have modules that communicate with other modules, and then, you know, systems that integrate a bunch of modules together, and then above that maybe you might have some design and integration issues. And so going up and down those different levels of abstraction and being able to solve problems at those different levels are really, really important. So, you know, taking that over from, you know, think of that in terms of a common everyday problem solving. You know, you may think that, for instance, Apple may, you know, some guy may look at their revenue numbers and say, oh, we didn't sell many iPads this year. And so they may immediately think that they need to work on their advertising or their marketing or, you know, email system or something like that. But, you know, going one step higher, say, why are people not buying more iPads? You know, maybe it's the demographics. Maybe it's, you know, they don't like this button or, you know. And then taking it another level higher, you may think of, you know, the age of people and so forth. And so when we think about defects, you know, the automatic thing would be to, okay, people want to focus on, you know, in automation, they think about pass rate and coverage. And so one level higher than that is, you know, well, you know, what are we covering, right? What kinds of things are we working on or trying to test to begin with? And, you know, are we automating the right thing? You know, I'd rather have a person that can really go higher than or deeper than just thinking about coverage and pass rate. You know, finding defects, you know, it's easy to just find, calculate those defect metrics, right? But more important, I think, is, you know, the test cases that you're developing and the quality of those test cases, whether or not those are good test cases, that's more important than defect rates, right? So going beyond the immediate problem, being able to dig deeper, that's the kind of detailed thinking that, we'd like to have.
Well, and you can see why you can see why people hire companies like yours, because you are thinking about the bigger pictures and you've seen, you know, the issues that are beyond those that it may be obvious to someone who, you know, doesn't do this all of the time and doesn't have that wealth of experience. And the same is true, as you mentioned, for the candidates that you would hire. But I have to ask, you know, I've had some discussions with employers in various industries, and they talk about how with the lower unemployment rate right now and the improving economy, that it can be very difficult to find candidates or to keep those who, you know, whom they have hired. You know, do you see anything like that? You may be in a different situation because you're a very attractive company and people just want to work for you. But, you know, do you have any perspective on that as an industry?
Well, yeah, I think you're right that because of the economy, it's probably a little bit harder to find people now than it was in the past, say, 5 years ago. But I think that the important thing about, you know, my dad used to say, it's not what you make, it's what you keep. And I think the same thing goes with employees too. You know, it's not, part of it is who you get in the door and who you hire. But the other part of it that's equally as big is keeping them, keeping the ones that you want to keep. And sometimes, of course, you make mistakes and you'd like to have those people leave on their own. But I think, you know, it's the people that you keep that's really, really important, and keeping those guys that keeping them happy. And it's not all done with money, as you know. So I think the fostering the right culture inside the company, and giving people a place that to come to work where they feel happy and comfortable. You know, a lot of times some of my managers will ask me, you know, what do we do about this? And my question to them is I say, well, what's the fair thing to do? What's the right thing to do? Would this person feel good about this? Is this also good for our company? And after asking these questions a few times, they don't need to ask me what to do anymore. They know what to do. They know what the right thing to do is. And I think fostering an environment that has that those kinds of values is what keeps people, and I think that's what's equally as important as hiring the right people.
Yeah, so let me play on that a little bit, and maybe it's just a natural outcome of all of the different processes that you have for testing. That in some respects, I mean, you can do a blind interview and a hands-on test and a written test and a neural test and some of the other hiring how do you identify that quality in the candidate? Is that really something, is it tangible, or is it something where you just have this intuition about them as you've gone through that hiring process?
Well, actually, something I didn't discuss earlier was that when we go through the hiring process and each person, we don't have a group meeting to decide if person gets hired or not. We have each of the individuals that had contact with that person write their evaluation separately. And then one person evaluates those written comments, because we don't want to have groupthink and we don't want to have one person influencing another person's thoughts on that person. So I think that's also a very important aspect of bringing in the right people. And if you can do that in an unbiased way, then I think that they're going to find the right people, or our team is going to find the right people.
No, I agree. And it is interesting. And if, for those who may not have heard you talk about some of the other pieces, the blind aspect of the interviews and the fact that everything's, you know, really moved back. You certainly, if you want to go and be trite, you know, you don't judge a book by its cover, you peel the onion, you look at all these different things. But it is fascinating. You really do, I think, a very just interesting and outstanding job of finding the true wonderful candidates that may not be obvious to someone. And I think that you hear that complaint probably from various people as they're looking for jobs sometimes, but you seem to have cracked the code a little bit there. So I'm hopeful that those listening have, if they're employers, that they picked up some great ideas from you. And those who are candidates, I hope they found hope in that they'll find a company that fits them. But overall, I really do appreciate the time that you've put into these interviews, as well as all of the ways that you've supported with writing and webinars with ASTQB. So again, on behalf of ASTQB, I want to thank you, Phil, for joining us.
Thanks, Dave, and hope to talk to you again.
Thank you for joining us for this podcast. We invite you to find more software testing podcasts, webinars, and white papers at www.astqb.org.